you. Thanks for that opportunity. Thank God it's Christmas. I pray to the Lord, not another year like the one we had last year in the Middle East, but look what's happened. Didn't he hear our prayers? I'm thinking of my friends who used to live in some of these cities that are no longer livable. I'm thinking of my friends who lived in Aleppo. I heard yesterday that it'll all be over in Aleppo by Christmas. I thought, well, that sounds good, but what they meant was there will be no city of Aleppo by Christmas. It'll be beaten into rubble. I'm thinking of the city of Mosul, where there's a missionary graveyard. For a century and a half, the missionaries lived and moved easily in and out of Mosul. And now it's under tremendous stress. It cannot end like this. The world cannot end like this. Not with the promises of God. Not with the scripture we're about to read. From Micah chapter 4. The great hope we have. The great Christmas hope we have. The angels spoke, we just sing the two greatest hymns of all, the two greatest missionary Christmas hymns. Hark the herald angels sing. And joy to the world. Joy to the world. As far as the curse is found, says one of those verses. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found. Okay. By God's grace, something has begun in our lives, in our families, in our community. Something of the leaven of the kingdom in the lump. The Christianity is in the context, that announcement of joy to the world, good news, peace on earth has begun its work. And if it's not finished, at least by God's grace, it has begun among us. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ for the peoples beyond. They too must be brought into the light. The peoples that walked in darkness, this great Christmas text from Isaiah 9:2, the peoples that walked in darkness have seen a great light. What is that? It's a prediction. It's not yet a reality for some, for many, especially in the Muslim world. The least, the last, the lost, the least likely peoples. So I'm all about Christmas today, thank God. I'm thinking of that poem, 500 years old, about the baby Jesus. This little babe, so few days old, has come to plunder Satan's fold. All hell doth at his presence quake, for he himself, though he himself with cold doth shake. For in his weak, unarmed disguise, the gates of hell he will surprise. This is how the history of the world must unfold now. Attack the gates of hell. Peel back from the peoples that are the Lord's peoples the fingers of the demonic. The demonic has their grip on peoples, and every day they destroy one another. What else can they do? It would be the same for you and me without Christ. But with Christ and the teachings of the Lord, the Sermon on the Mount, look, if you think long and deeply enough about Jesus and the way of the Lord, you will begin to regard women with respect, children with regard, the marginalized, the newcomers, the strangers, only with Jesus, because of him, because of the way he regarded the invisible, the miserable, the people that were on the edge. Who else spoke like the Sermon on the Mount and offered to those that would live poor in spirit a kingdom of God to gain? Who else offered that if we would live pure in heart, we would see God? Who else talked that if we were meek, we would inherit the earth? Who else talked about if we would be peacemakers, we'd be children of God? And who else in the history of religion or mythology or philosophy ever said, if you take the log, if you want to take the speck out of your brother's eye, you got to take the log out of your own eye first? Only Jesus. With Jesus, we will see the kingdom of darkness pushed back and the kingdom of light advanced. See, far as the curse is found. And if you can think of anything better than that, you'll have to tell me, because I can't. No wonder C.T. Studd said, if God calls me to be a missionary, I would not stoop to be a king. So the best thing you can do, I believe, is to send missionaries to the places where it's dark, where there's no work begun yet, and to believe texts like the one here from Micah chapter 5, Micah chapter 4. I'm going to read to you now. This is the text where it talks about beating your swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Okay. Oh, that the Muslim world would beat their swords into plowshares. I taught American history and American government for 5 semesters in northern Iraq at university. My wife and I lived in northern Iraq. This is our main work in the Middle East, was to live in Iraq among the Kurds. Okay. The Kurds, who say they live between Iraq and a hard place. Ha ha. The Kurds, who are on the front line now of the fight against ISIS. The Kurds, who are the punchline for the jokes of the larger ethnic language groups in the Middle East. How many Kurds does it take to change a light bulb? Ha ha ha, you see. And now, these valorous, courageous men are on the front lines of the great fight, 620 miles of front line, to protect the free world from the very bad people of ISIS. And time will tell how much we owe the Kurds. Okay. Now we have this great text, Micah chapter 4. It shall come to pass in the latter days, that's now, that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills. And peoples, that's a plural, peoples shall flow to it. And many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways. That's the Sermon on the Mount. And the whole gospel, and regarding Jesus for all that he had to teach, say, do, that he may teach us his ways, we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples, and he will decide for strong nations afar off. That's the only hope we have, is that Jesus and his people will get into the business of resolving the conflicts between people. My students in northern Iraq love to hear about the United States of America, 50 states working in pretty good harmony with one another. And on the north, the world's longest undefended border, 4,000 miles. They don't have any concept of what it means to live at peace with their neighbors. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, nor shall they learn war any more. They shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. Dear God, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken to this. O God, we pray that the good news of the gospel, Jesus Christ and his way, will come to pass now among us in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. And we pray that this good news will soon and very soon come to pass for all the peoples of the world, especially in the Muslim world. Amen. I have some slides to show, and with Jin's help. There's the title, Swords into Plowshares, We Pray. We pray next. It's my wife and I. We're in front of Ephesus and the ruins of Ephesus. And we've been married 40 years this year. What do you think about that? Yeah. Thank you. Wonderful. Next. These are the icons of the Muslim world. You recognize some of those places. This is where we go. This is only where we go. 40 Muslim countries where they say you can't go. That's where we go. Where can't you go? Well, we want to go there. The world can't end like it is now, not in strife and violence and collapse, not with these promises of God that the nations are going to go up to the mountain of the Lord and study the way of the Lord and beat their swords into plowshares. Okay, next. Like this man right here, this is a leader of the mosque in his country. He studied the word of the Lord. He came to faith in Jesus Christ. Look at the joy of the Lord in this man. I tell you, this is after they tried to beat it out of him. They put him in jail for 6 months. Okay, he paid a great price. But he came out of it like, this is the real thing. This is authenticity. Next. But I want to speak to you and appeal to you for the peoples beyond. The places in the Muslim world where there are still no missionaries, where there are no pushpins in the missionary maps. You know the missionary maps in the back of churches? You want to put the pushpins in and show pictures of where people are supporting missionaries. That's great. We go where there are no pushpins, where there is no footprints in the snow ahead of you. We go to be the first. And those people are still showing up, you know. But they want to be like Paul and believe that they have an ambition to preach the gospel where Christ is not known. That they might not build on another man's foundation. So that the scriptures will be fulfilled. Those who have never seen might see. Those who have never heard might hear. We want all of those. I wanted to do that. My wife and I, thank God, wanted to do this. So we were the first family to live in Iraq in a long, long time, you know, and to open up the work among the Kurds. There's very few songs written about what I do as president of the largest mission agency, sending missionary teams to the Muslim world, going where there are no pushpins and no footprints ahead of you in the snow. So, had to write one myself. I've only written one song in my life, but I see this beautiful piano over here. What doth hinder me from embarrassing myself? Would you mind if I give it a try over here? Time what I tell you what I do and express it in a song. I do that better than probably in words. Give me a chance here. Imagine you're in our office on a Thursday morning. That's the best morning of the week. And we're going to lay hands on the new missionaries and pray them out. They've sold their possessions. They're about to ready to cry at an airport, say goodbye to everything familiar, take up their residence in a Muslim country. Okay. And this is what we might experience with those wonderful missionaries. I kept my eye on you when we prayed you out today. I know you said, don't cry for me, but what can I say? To me you're brave and noble, faithful and true. You were blessed to be a blessing, and I have my eye on you. And there they go, footprints in the farthest snow. Going where there are no pushpins in any missionary maps. As God sent his Son, so we are sending you to the final frontiers everywhere. They go there. I read the book of Romans where you said you got your call to go beyond the ranges like the Apostle Paul. You asked me not to say that those are God-forsaken lands, for the day is coming soon when they'll all be in his hands. And there they go, footprints in the farthest snow. Going where there are no pushpins in any missionary maps. As God sent his Son, so we are sending you to the final frontiers everywhere. They go there. I saw you by the light of the campfires, talking with your friends, pointing toward the night. And when you stood and asked if we would pray for you, someone said, you know there are a lot of needs here too. But there's a far horizon where the Father's calling you. So go with God and go with our love too. We have our eyes on you. Next, check out this statue. This is a statue on the plaza of the United Nations building in New York City. It was given by the Soviet Union, 1948. But look what's happening in this statue. It's the passage from Micah. Can you see the sword is already being beaten into a plowshare? Next. Yeah, another picture. I have a slight poem about this picture right here, like this. See the mighty man with his hammer held high? He will bring it down upon the iron sword. and he will reshape it into an instrument of peace. Behold, already the reshaping has begun. Thank you. A story from Iraq. Layla and her husband lived their whole lives in the city of Fallujah, Iraq, 100% Muslim Arab family. Until ISIS moved in, they had lived in peace. Now the enemy was closing fast. They left with what they could carry, and taking their children by their hands, they began to move towards the east. They had to drop their possessions and walk just with their children, looking back at the approaching clouds of death. Just when things looked their blackest, as they fled the fury of fanatics, a white pickup truck slowed down and stopped and said to them, "Get in the back." Into the pickup truck they scrambled, and off it went northeast to the city which we call the City of Refuge. They arrived with just the shoes on their feet and the clothes on their back. A chapter had closed on their lives. They were issued a blue tent by the United Nations, like thousands of other refugees who have arrived in that city. One night, Layla had a dream, and the Lord appeared to her and said, "I'm going to send you a man who will tell you the truth about me, and he will lead you to Jesus Christ." The Lord showed her a picture of a man, and she realized she'd already seen him. He had distributed humanitarian aid a few days earlier. The next day, she saw him again. His name is Anwar, and she called him in and said, "The Lord appeared to me in a dream and told me you would tell me the truth about God." He said, "Yes. I used to be a Muslim, and now I've become a Christian. And now I am finding people who God has prepared to meet with Jesus Christ and find the truth." Layla and her husband began to study the book of John. It didn't happen all at once, but with the Holy Spirit as their teacher, their hearts began to soften. When Layla and her husband read about the death of Jesus, they joyfully accepted the message of the gospel. Me too. When I think of this great person, the Son of God, brought up to trial, it could have been that the Father said, "This is enough for me to judge the whole world, what they're doing to my son." When I read about the stripes placed upon his back and the crown of thorns, and then that he fell under the weight of the cross, not just to his knees, I think he fell all the way into the dust and the dirt and the rocks of the Roman road, and no one was there to help him. The Father could have said, "That's enough, send the angels to destroy the world." But it wasn't like that. He did it because he wanted us back. He wanted me back and you and our enemies. And so it was with Layla and her husband that they accepted the gospel message and became Christians. And not only them, get this, there are now 20 other families which have started meeting as Christians because of the influence of Layla and her husband. They, like Priscilla and Aquila, are church planters in the City of Refuge. Layla says, "It's as though we have been given a pickup truck." And they have pledged themselves to go back to the city of Fallujah and be the first to bring the hope of Jesus Christ when that city is again livable. I'm going to give you a number today we've never heard of before in the Middle East. We now know in the City of Refuge of 140 churches that have begun with baptized believers from a Muslim background. Something new is happening in our day. We should be on tiptoes to see what God is about to do and to give thanks. There are more stories like Layla's, but there are also stories of devastation. I think of the historical Christians of the Middle East, those that Jin referred to, who became Christians in Acts chapter 2 and never became Muslims. They bravely have stayed Christians all these centuries, but now their lives are at risk in Iraq and in Syria. Because the very bad guys, the ISIS, they take the spray paint and they spray a letter N, Arabic letter N, on the house door. When the letter N goes on your house door, it stands for Nazarenes. You've got to go, or else you're going to be in the way when they ransack your house. If they can make it to where our missionaries are across a border, we can help them, but they need a lot of help. And we set them to making handicrafts like this bookmark here with the yellow letter N on it in Arabic, the letter N for the Nazarenes. And then we sell these for $5 a piece. And that's what I'm doing right here. I've got a handful of them up here. And if you want to help, if you want to dry some tears, then I would ask you to consider what we have up there that might be something that would give heart to our fellow Christians who are in harm's way. I live in Arizona. One morning the phone rang. It was the producer of a television show, 60 Minutes. He said, I want to come and interview you and tell your story to the American people. I thought, this is not good. He didn't ask if he was coming, and the next day he came. And I sat him down in my office, and I got off the shelf a little statue of St. Francis of Assisi. And I told this story. I said, this little statue was given to me by a Muslim who came to faith in Jesus Christ through a Frontiers missionary. And now this new believer in Christ ever lives to read the word of the Lord and to live by the prayer of St. Francis. And then I prayed the prayer of St. Francis, which goes like this. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. And the producer said to me, yes, that's the story we want to tell. It's a remarkable story of living in Islamic countries at a time like this. And I said, if you tell that story, many of my people will be put in harm's way, and the very end that you have in mind will not be achieved. And he was a good man, and he agreed not to tell the story. So let me tell you today what I didn't feel free to talk about on 60 Minutes. What do? I start new life, the way of the Lord, in the Muslim world. I send new teams of people just like you who are blessed to be a blessing to all the families of the earth and have a call upon them to go. All of us are called by God to Christ and to his church and to his cause. Some to go, some to send, some to give, some to sacrifice, some to pray as warriors. All of us, this great community, the Great Commission community. But some are called to go. And that is where my wife and I and our team in Phoenix, Arizona, make our mission to the world is to help. This is the largest mission in the world to Islam. 591 American missionaries today. And from the other frontier sending bases in the world, located in 29 other countries, including the Philippines and Korea and Singapore and Costa Rica and Colombia and Mexico and Canada, all the another 500 missionaries to bring about hope of Jesus Christ in the Muslim world, and more stories like Layla's. I believe the Lord would have me tell you a story of personal and unspeakable sorrow that I might illustrate the power of the Lord to bring people back to himself. While I was living in Iraq with my family and my children, the United Nations officer came to my front door and said he was very sorry to deliver this news, and he gave me a fax. Said that my own sister had been murdered in the United States in a carjacking that went horribly wrong, and she was left on the side of the road to die in the gravel. I don't remember anything else except that my eyes completely blinded out anything else, any other thing to see. But my father had to go identify my sister's body at a police station, and so did my sister's husband. And the two of them flew across the country to where this had taken place. And the next morning at the police station, there my sister was laid out like she was sleeping. And her husband got down on his knees. He said unforgettable words, loud enough for the whole police station to hear. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they've done. My father could not believe the presence of mind to say something like that, with such power at the moment. But I do believe that the sentence that these men would have had to endure by the Almighty was broken that day, as it was in the day of Christ when he forgave everyone that brought about his own death. And it may very well be that we will see the perpetrators of that crime again at the Lord's communion table on the last day. And how great would that be? How great is the mercy of the Lord? How far does his love reach to bring people to himself? And that's what I want to say today, that the people that are the last, the least, the lost, especially in the Muslim world, they will come to faith according to the book of Micah, what we read today. They will want it so badly. They will see the examples of people that are living in righteousness, peace, and joy, that they will want what you have and go up to the mountain of the Lord and say, let us learn his ways. Already we have some early victories, but there are many more to come in these last days of Muslims coming to faith. So I would say, Pastor Jin, you better get some more chairs in this place, because one of these days, the Muslims who are going to come to faith are going to want to sit among you and find out what is it that makes you have righteousness, peace, and joy in your life. We have these great promises of what the future will bring. Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. Many shall come from east and west, remember, and take their places at the feast. That means assigned seating. That means their name tags are already at the tables. You're going to be sitting next to strangers who are going to come in the last days and take places at the feast with Abraham. So I'd say, Pastor Jin, we better go down to IKEA and get some more TV trays. There's a lot more people about to show up here. He invites us to his banqueting table because his banner over us is love. My banquet must be filled before the feast can begin. Go to the highways and the byways and force them. That's how you and I got in. Early victories. So I would say, let's get those folding chairs that must be in this place somewhere and send them out, because we're about to see a great harvest based upon the promises of God. So I'm going to make a prediction tonight. And you're going to say you heard it here first. So get ready to text your friends. This is going to make you famous. Are you ready to know what's about to happen in history? I am not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. I'm from a non-profit organization. What's about to happen in the history of the world? Unexpected things. There, text your friends. But these unexpected things happen through the one who said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, ethne. Because unexpected things are about to happen, and what was yesterday a closed country is about to open up. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's the way of the Lord. And then the special advantage given to missionaries who cross cultures, who leave everything, who cry to say goodbye at airports. Lo, I am with you always to the ends of the earth. It's directed to the missionaries. A great advantage, because he knows we're about to experience great loss. So don't feel sorry for the missionaries. They've got this great advantage that the Lord has given to them. What is the way of the Lord? I believe that when you think long enough about Jesus Christ and the way he dealt with the people, we will bring about such changes culturally in our own families, our own communities, and finally to the whole world, that it would be like what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, if you light a candle, it gives light to the whole house. That means not everybody is going, to benefit from the candle that's lit by Christians, even if they're not Christians. We're going to take back society, cultures, because of our influence. We're going to cause many, many more people to regard women with respect, and children, and the marginalized, and the strangers among us, because of the way we have regarded the Lord and his teachings. So what is Christianity? I believe that Christmas in the Bible is the nursery for what must become a much larger impact on the world of the Lord's people. The promise of the angels, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, is there in miniature. It's all real in the Bible, but it did not have the power that it's supposed to yet until we spread out and take to heart the other texts, like the government shall be upon his shoulders, and of the increase of his government there shall be no end. Okay, when does that begin? It begins with Christmas, and the increase of his government is happening now. See? Greater things shall you do, because I go to be with the Father. So we look to take back this planet from the dark side. Yes, all the answers, the answer to every Sunday school question is always Jesus. I get that, but not even Jesus said that's the only answer. It's Jesus talked about the way of the Lord. And regarding people and taking back this planet and the people of this planet one day at a time through our understanding, and our growing understanding of what Jesus requires of us, and how to live with one another. So let's light a candle, and it will bring about the Lord's purposes for more than just Christians. That's what Christianity is. And here's what I think it is, all in one breath if I can. Okay, this is Christianity. Growing up, bringing about the purposes of the Lord. Purposes in places far, far away from Jerusalem. Like South Korea, for example, which has become in our day the first country in the East Asia to make Christmas a national holiday. Well, how did that come about? Because the first missionaries that arrived in South Korea 140 years ago were shot at with flaming arrows as they tried to row their boats ashore. And we have the first letters that they wrote back. Presbyterian Historical Society in Philadelphia, you can read those first letters that the missionaries sent back. Do not send any more missionaries. These people don't want it. Fast forward 140 years. Where are the largest churches in the world? And the largest seminaries? And the second largest missionary sending force in the world, you see. So this is the impact when the leaven is in the lump and the person of Christ begins to have larger and larger social impact. So here's what I want to say is Christianity. Christianity is the God-glorifying, life-giving, peacemaking, slavery-ending, family-mending, unborn-defending, refugee-befriending, wealth creating, science supporting, children protecting, private property respecting, patent granting, health care providing, free enterprise rewarding, and justice ensuring way of the Lord that is being created where communities of Christians light the candles and begin to win over sinful human nature. That's it in a nutshell. We started to see some early victories in our day. Yes, people coming to faith, that's the main thing, but also lighting the candle that will bring about the reality of Micah chapter 4. People studying the way of the Lord until they finally beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Oh, that the Muslim world would live like that. They will, when the Lord allows them to be freed from their spiritual strongholds. So the producer of 60 Minutes wants to know what I do. I set Muslims on the path of the way of the Lord. I start the free world in the hearts of Muslim communities. I set Muslims on the Christian foundation of human rights, the abolition of slavery, love and forgiveness, and liberty and justice for all. Christianity affects everything like yeast in the dough. Oh, that the Muslim nations would study the way of the Lord. Oh, that Muslim peoples everywhere would gather their weapons and melt them in a metal furnace and pour the molten metal into an iron Liberty Bell that would say, as our Liberty Bell says, proclaim liberty throughout the land, Leviticus 25:10. This will happen when Muslims are freed from the demonic to be transformed, to empowered to love one another through the Holy Spirit. Call me crazy, but this is what happens when Christians take seriously the promises of God and the future that must come to pass. With the love of God compelling, and the Holy Spirit empowering, and the witness of the martyrs looking down, and the promises of God in play, we're going to attempt great things for God and believe great things from God. We're going to believe that the light of Christ that has begun to enlighten our own world, our own part of the world, will also enlighten the Muslim world, as it has for Layla and 140 peoples of the City of Refuge. But it's not about us. We're no better than they. D.T. Niles of Sri Lanka himself, from a Hindu background who came to faith in Christ, D.T. Niles said, Christianity is just one beggar telling another where to find bread. We're no better. We have found bread at the table with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Many nations will come in that day and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. He will teach us his ways to walk in his paths. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation will not study war anymore. Our destiny is to hear the Lord's call to go forth and bring the hope of Jesus Christ to the farthest, the least, the last, the least likely, the lost, and to see of all things the banquet table filled before the feast can begin. And if you can think of anything better than that, you see. I know where the final Narnias are. Those great parts of the world where it's always winter and never Christmas. And the little children walk backwards through the wardrobe and find themselves in the snow. And that's the kind of people that become missionaries. Pretty vulnerable, pretty sure that they're not the strongest or the bravest. But there's a calling upon some of them to go. And they become heroes because they become the first. You can count on this. We do not know the future of Christianity in the Middle East. It has not been written, but it has been revealed. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. They too must hear my voice and be gathered in, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Watch for it in our day. In the movie Lincoln, where Lincoln has an opportunity to emancipate the slaves, and he's arguing with his cabinet to bring that now is the time, he says it like this. We have stepped out upon the world stage now with the fate of human dignity in our hands. Blood has been spilled to afford us this moment. Now. This settles the fate of the world for all time to come. Not only for the millions now in bondage, but for unborn millions still to come. Lincoln was writing about the African American slaves. This quote could also be referring to the millions of Muslims. Now. If it is to be, it is up to us. But don't be under any illusion. Some of our sons and daughters will give the last full measure of devotion before this task is finished. We will have to have a theology that will deepen to remember Christ's Gethsemane is our Gethsemane as well. And some will give the last full measure of devotion before the end comes. As the dwarf said in Tolkien's movie, The Return of the King, just before the final battle, victory is unlikely, death is possible, what are we waiting for? Friends, on some future day, when this spiritual battle has been won, we will look back and say we paid a great price, and the price we paid was worth it. And we will say that although we felt foolish to stutter before the pharaohs of the world, we did proclaim the salam, the shalom, the peace that the Middle East and indeed the whole world needs now. All for thee, High King of Glory, all for thee. For thine is the holiness and the splendor and the majesty and the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And how long is that? And forever and ever. And when you get done with all the forever and evers, then amen. Amen. Thanks be to God Almighty. Heavenly Father, come, long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From fears and sins, release us as we put our trust in thee. Amen.